Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Take your Bibles, turn to the book of Titus this morning. Right into the preaching. Titus this morning. I'm old enough now that I get real nostalgic for the good old days. If you would allow me this morning, I'm going to preach out of the book of Titus on the old time religion. It's not something that is new to majority of you people here, but I just kind of felt like that'd be the kind of message to preach this morning. One that just kind of, not a cheerleading kind of thing. That's not it. I want to preach the Bible. I'm preaching out of the book of Titus. But things keep changing. And sometimes what you remember is the good old days really weren't all that good. And I'm reminded of Coca-Cola. I love Coca-Cola. Now, how many people here are old enough to remember when you could not swig Coca-Cola more than several gulps at a time? When you opened a bottle of Coke, not a can, but a bottle of Coke, and it smoked. Remember that? When you drank it, it went up your nasal passages, kind of cleared your head and watered your eyes. You had to burp when it was done. That's when Coca-Cola was real. That's the good old days. And I'm serious. I don't know. I never did the math on this, but if you're like 30 and you think you know what old Coke is, you have no idea. You have no idea. You think you do, you don't, all right? Classic Coke is not classic Coke. Not today. Remember when we didn't have car seats? Everybody just kind of piled in the car? Didn't have car seats. We didn't have seat belts. Everybody just piled in the car. And the best seat in the car was the back window. Do you remember that? Man, I lived that. That's how I grew up. Remember getting into Dad's rusty old family car and driving down a gravel road and so dusty it would choke a horse? Do you remember that? I mean, and dust was just thick in the car, and a lot of the roads were gravel. You know, those really weren't the good old days. I do want to preach a little bit about the good old days this morning. I want to preach on the old-time religion. I want to be a little bit nostalgic, and I want to work our way through the book of Titus, and I trust that it'll be a blessing to you as we study it. And again, you've heard me say this before. I'll say it again. I don't mean old-time religion like 50 years ago. I mean old-time religion like 2,000 years ago. Like Peter at Pentecost, like Paul the apostle, born out of due time and traveling the world and planting New Testament local churches, like James, the pastor of Jerusalem, like Timothy, the pastor at Ephesus, like Titus on the island of Crete and pastoring there, or John, the revelator on the island of Patmos and God showing him all the things that would soon come to pass. I'm talking about an old time, when I say old time religion, I mean New Testament Christianity. So every time I say old time religion this morning, you might be wondering what that is. You think New Testament Christianity. Old time religion is not a religion. As a matter of fact, religion is destroying America. Old time religion, and what I'm saying this morning, is a relationship. It's not a list of do's and don'ts. We sometimes think that with New Testament Christianity. Oh, if you're going to be a biblicist, you got to do this and do this and do this, and you can't do this and you can't do this and you can't do that. No. That supersedes all of that. Old time religion is being so in love with your Redeemer, with the lover of your soul, that his smallest wish is your motive for living. The last thing you would do would be to hurt the cause of Christ or somehow cause the smile of Christ to somehow be darkened in some way. That's the last thing you'd want. Old time religion is a relationship with Jesus Christ. We sometimes get the cart in front of the horse and we think, well, it's you do this, you don't drink, you don't smoke, you don't chew, you don't go with the girls that do, You live the separated life, and we think that's the old-time religion. And really, that isn't the old-time religion. The truth is, the old-time religion is, I'm so in love with my Savior. I'm so in love with the one, the lover of my soul, who gave to me eternal life, and I have all things in Him, that my love for Him supersedes all of that, and anything that would bring any question or any kind of reproach upon the name of Christ, I'm not part of it, whether it's the way I dress, the way that I talk, the places that I go, it matters not. I'm all about Jesus. That's the old-time religion. By the way, a church that gets the old-time religion is a superpower. It's unstoppable. It has the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit, at the core of every ministry. And they're exalting Jesus Christ. And by the way, you're not doing those things. But you're not doing those things because you can't do those things. Paul said, all things are lawful unto me, but not all things are expedient. Paul said, I'm smarter than that. That's stupid. That brings reproach upon Christ. I'm all in. That's the old-time religion. You understand? That's what we want here at Fundamental Baptist Church. A lot of people got the wrong idea of what really we are all about, what the old-time religion is, and what New Testament Christianity is. Oh, man, they're fundies. They're the fundamentalists, you know. And you know, the fact is, that's not it at all. It's about Jesus. The old-time religion is a person. His name is Jesus. And here's the great thing about the old-time religion. The island of Crete were a lot of people that had no Christian background at all. As a matter of fact, it says in verse 12, one of themselves, even a prophet of their own, said the Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, and slow bellies. So there was nothing that had to be undone religiously. And Titus goes there and he just preaches the gospel. And that's what Paul's telling them to do. He preaches the whole counsel of God. Live right, do right, honor God, manifest Jesus Christ. You're a commercial for heaven, and God is going to bless. These people had no pretenses. They had no religious heritage, if you will. They truly were, with Titus as their pastor, a New Testament local church. It fit their culture, not their sin culture, but their culture, and they were a light on the island of Crete. Here's the beauty about being a youper. We don't have to be a downstate church. We don't have to measure up to any standard that they have. We get our eyes on Jesus Christ and we measure up to the Word of God. That is our standard. Here's the deal. This is my creed right here. This is where we're supposed to live. And this is what I'm supposed to live in and get it all over me. We get to be a New Testament local church that's a youper church. We get to fit our culture and do everything right. Those things were right. But the fact is we do everything right, but we do it because we're in love with Jesus. That's the old-time religion. Titus in chapter 1, Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness. And Paul says it. He says it in the first verse. He says it over and over and over again. Man, it's about the book. It's about living according to the book. It's about honoring Christ through the book, his word. He is the living word. This is the written word. And they're congruent and they go together. And one complements the other. One manifests the other. Titus, here's what we know about him. He's a Gentile. But he's a co-laborer. He is a son of the faith, a spiritual son of the apostle Paul. I know that because of what verse 4 says. So I believe that Paul led Titus to the Lord. Titus traveled with Paul. He traveled with him to several cities and preached the word of God. And I'm trying to think of some of the cities. He was at Corinth. He was at Philippi. He was on the island of Crete. And I think he was back in Corinth after that. So here's Titus, a son, a spiritual son to the apostle Paul. He's a son of God. He's been born again. He's a Gentile. And God has raised him up to lead the church of Jesus Christ on the island of Crete. And this is a pastoral epistle. It's one of three books in the New Testament that is referred to as pastoral epistles. It's instructions for the church. It's instructions for the New Testament Christian. It's instructions on living out, I'll use the word again, the old-time religion. And again, in case you're just tuning in, I'm going to say at least two more times in this message, the old-time religion is not a list of do's and don'ts. It supersedes that. It's far beyond that. The old-time religion is not a religion. It is a relationship with the one who died for you that you might have eternal life. The lover of your soul, the one, it's because of him you're going to live in God's heaven for all of eternity. And the old time religion, first century, 21st century, I'm so in love with him that I'm going to do everything he desires, whatever his will is. And I don't want to bring reproach upon his name. I don't want to dirty up his name. I'm going to do the best I can, a sinner saved by grace, live for the glory of God. I'm going to dress the way he wants me to dress. No questions. I'm going to live and talk the way he wants me to talk. No questions. I'm going to not go places he doesn't want me to go. No questions. And it's all about exalting Jesus. Paul tells Timothy, or tells Titus, he gives him some true words here. Verse 2, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. I'm sure glad he did. But hath in due times, that's the day in which we live, the day in which Titus was alive, manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. The old time religion is about preaching sound doctrine. We live in a very uncertain day with viruses, riots. I don't even know what happened last night. Man, it's just disheartening. It's disgusting. It's sickening what's happening in some of the cities. You know what? And I know it's not everybody, and I'm sure it's a minority. But you know what that is? That is a result of a Christless culture. That is a result of people thinking they are owed everything. And just void of values, Bible-based values. And it's sad. The uncertainty of the day. The economy reeling. Not sure where it's going to go. Lawlessness. Even anarchy. And the reason is no New Testament church influence. The reason is the Church of Jesus Christ, in many cases, has dropped the ball and become the culture. Don't let culture dictate your doctrine. That is a downhill slide. We need to have the Word of God dictating our doctrine. He says in verse 3, but hath in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me. Preaching sound doctrine. Verse 9, holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort, that's preaching, and to convince, that's preaching, the gainsayers. He says you preach the word of God, not a frothy kumbaya kind of sermonette, a feel-good religion, but sound doctrine. Rock solid, life-changing, linked to the Word of God, preaching. Good Bible preaching. Amen. Topical preaching. That means you preach on a topic and you're all over the Bible. Expository preaching where the Scripture is exegeted. That's good. Man, that's good. You're taking the Word of God and you're going line upon line and precept upon precept. Or textual preaching, which is a form of expository preaching. Textual preaching is when you take a passage like I'm doing this morning, and you preach through that passage so that the people, the listeners, will remember, oh, that's the book of Titus. Oh, yeah, that's that. And so when you're in need, you know where to go. That's, and you're able to take notes in the Word of God. Man, I am all for the old-time religion, that hymn singing, Bible carrying, smile on your face, joy in your heart, loving the brethren, reaching out to sinners, telling other people about Jesus kind of religion. That's what we're supposed to have. So he says, you preach sound doctrine. Meat and potatoes sermons. Meat and potatoes doctrine. Not just milk. You can't live on milkshakes. I don't know if you know that or not. You can't live on soda pop, like they say in Wisconsin. You can't live on soda pop. Man, that's going to rot your teeth out, and you're going to be imbalanced, and your organs aren't going to, you're not even going to function correctly. Before long, you're going to be a little bit nuts and a little bit crazy. You need meat, and that describes, that explains a lot of people. You need meat and potatoes, and here's my kind of meal. It's like this at my house. It may be like this at your house. This is the way I was born, or where I was raised. We hardly ever had dessert at mom and dad's house. We had meat and potatoes. Well, a lot of times we had goulash, but there was meat and potatoes a lot of the times. And for me, dessert was a second helping of meat and potatoes. And maybe a third helping of meat and potatoes. Man, you're going to, you know, because dessert is just kind of what it says it is. Just a little bit of sugar on the end kind of thing. We need meat and potatoes kind of preaching. And it's okay to have some dessert once in a while. This morning's a little bit like dessert. I'm kind of preaching to the choir. But he says here, what's committed unto you and committed unto me is preaching of sound doctrine. Look at chapter 2 and verse 1. Chapter 2 and verse 1. Let me look at some notes here. I'll just leave that all behind. Don't have enough time. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. So we're to preach sound doctrine and we're to speak sound doctrine. We're to pick up the lingo and have a lingo that brings honor to God. Find a way. Take your King James Bible. Study the Word of God. And I say King James Bible because it's from the Textus Receptus. It's the only modern translation from the received text, from the majority text. Everything else is from the Alexandrian corrupt texts. It's God's Bible for the English-speaking world. You can read another Bible and read about the gospel, and you can get saved. Just like you can read a gospel tract and hear the word of God and get born again. But if you really want to be a student of the book, you really want to know what God's saying, then you got to go back to the TR. You got to go back to the Textus Receptus. And the way you and I do that as English-speaking people is to go to the King James Bible. And it's a word-for-word inspired word of God. I'm thankful for that. That's the meat and potatoes kind of thing. And he says, you find a way to get that Bible into other people's lives. You start speaking sound doctrine. You find a way to reach your coworker and your loved ones with the truth of the gospel. You're not the word of God. And you may not even quote the word of God exactly, but you're communicating the word of God. There's a source. You go back to that, and you're communicating the word of God, and you're sharing truth with them, and they're getting saved. You find a way to do it. Remember when we used to have a men's hockey team here? Been a lot of years now. I was thinking about it this morning, yesterday morning. It's been a lot of years. A lot of the guys who used to play are all old guys, not at all like me. And you know what that hockey was about? You know what Baptist hockey was about? When we rent the Polar Stadium, we rent the Norris Center, and we'd go up there, and then we'd travel a little bit and play other teams. It was all about getting the gospel to other people. How many times, and after the game, we'd go over to the other locker room, bring pizza with us, whatever it is, and say, hey, guys, here's some pizza. Give me 5 minutes. They'd set their beers down, whatever it was they had in their locker room, and then we'd lead sinners to Christ. It was about getting the Bible to their locker room. You and I got to find a way to speak sound doctrine. Get the word of God to our loved ones and to our coworkers. Find a way. And we got to do it. And here's another thing. Look at verse 7, chapter 2, verse 7. Live sound doctrine. And all things showing thyself a pattern of good works and doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. We're to be real. We're to laugh. We're to cry. We're human beings. We're still sinners like everybody else, but sinners saved by grace. And we find a way to live out the gospel in front of our coworkers, in front of our classmates, in front of the world around us, in front of our loved ones that aren't born again. We find a way to lovingly take a stand without compromise and make a difference. We carry the light of the gospel wherever we go, whatever room we go into, whatever we go into. We're a commercial for heaven. That's why Paul told Titus, you tell the young men they're to have a pattern of good works. They're to be without corruptness. Don't mix in the flesh. And be that one that is going to live out the gospel. Look at Philippians chapter 1 and verse 27. Philippians and chapter 1 and verse 27. Only let your conversation, old English word, it means lifestyle. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or be absent, or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. I am to live out the gospel. I'm 63 years old, and I've never yet met a happy backslider. Not a one. You show me a bitter Christian, and I'll show you someone that's going to send sinners to hell. The backslidden Christian will send more sinners to hell than the drunk on the bar stool on Saturday night ever will. You're claiming to be something, and you're not living it out. Live out the gospel. Man, there's so many passages of Scripture. I'm thinking of Philippians in chapter 2 where it says, work out your own salvation. Bring that salvation to the surface. Let it be known. It speaks of putting a shine on the paint job to just kind of let it glisten. That's what we are. We're God's commercials. You are the only Bible that many people will ever read. I am the only Bible that many people will ever read. Some of them will never come to church. But you're working right beside them. Here's a challenge to you men and women that are working in corrections. I know that's tough. I mean, you have got to live the God. That's a mission field in every direction. Peers and inmates on all above you and below you in every direction. And you're carrying a light into a world of darkness. And you're to show people that, that it's the real McCoy, because there's a lot of cons. We understand that. And I don't mean any pun by that. There's cons in the world in which we live. We're to speak sound doctrine. We're to live sound doctrine. We're to make people hungry for God. Look what it says in verse 10. We're to adorn sound doctrine, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. Our changed life gives integrity, gives credibility to the gospel. I am to adorn the gospel. Can I use this word as a synonym? And it's real close, without exaggeration. I am to embellish the gospel. I am to be someone that when my unsaved people around me, my friends, my coworkers, my acquaintances, my very brief acquaintances, when they sense my attitude, they sense my spirit, they see my life, they want what I have. It needs to be bigger than life. Every time I preach this passage, I think of Mom's apple pies. Mom, I think, went home to be with the Lord a year ago yesterday. That kind of hit me hard yesterday afternoon. And I'm looking forward to seeing her again, because I know I wasn't the greatest son. I know in many ways I could have done so much, so much better. But bless God, Mom wasn't much of a cook. And she raised a lot of boys and raised Christy, but wasn't a great cook. And her apple pies, a lot of times, you know, you took it out of the plate, you put it on a plate, out of the pan, in the plate, it didn't stand up as an apple pie. It kind of became apple pie soup with some with some crust in there. And it went different directions at different times. And I'm convinced she could have been a good cook, but it just wasn't a priority in her life. Because we were all so easy to please. Man, we were. My dad was easy to please. All the kids were easy to please. We just ate everything that was there. It was a race. We sat down, amen. Everybody got what they could get out of the middle of the table. And me being the older brother and kind of the biggest pup of the litter, I wasn't above putting French fries in my pocket for later on. You know, that's kind of how it went, all right? And we filled our bellies, and that's the way it was. But she could not make apple pie that was enticing. Aunt Margaret Dowd. And by the way, she was a raider too, right? Aunt Margaret Dowd. Now, when she made apple pie, hey, there are a lot of ladies in this church that can make apple pie. And I'm due. I think the last one that was made for me. I'm missing my mom. Make me a pie. Right? The last one that was made for me was Don Miller. And it was a great pie. She can bake. Victor, you're blessed. I don't know if you know that or not. If you put Aunt Margaret's apple pie and Mom's apple pie, everybody's going here. You know, it may even taste the same, but everybody's going here. When that's gone, then we'll go over here. And I'm to make the gospel like this over here. I'm to make people hungry for Jesus. That's living the gospel. That's speaking sound doctrine. That's preaching sound doctrine. That's living sound doctrine. That's adorning the gospel. And then if we were to go to chapter 3 very quickly, and I'll summarize it, I'm to magnify sound doctrine with my life. It's just another way of saying it. Paul here says, put them in mind to be subject to the principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, because they were an unruly people. Speak evil of no man, be not brawlers, fighters, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient. That's what we were before we got saved. Skip on down to, let me keep reading. Verse 4 says, but after that the kindness and the love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. Paul's not overspeaking that. He's saying, man, the gospel of God is the greatest thing on earth. Amen. And he shed it on us abundantly. And it's that gift, it's that benefit that Paul told Timothy about. We are children of God because of grace, because of mercy, and it's a gift of God. It's an unspeakable gift. It's greater than anything on this earth. And if I just fall in love with Jesus like I ought, I'll be living right in that old time religion. And everywhere I go, I'm going to be carrying that light. And look what it says in verse 8. This is a faithful saying. And these things I will that thou affirm constantly. Context. He's telling Titus on the island of Crete, constantly, constantly, you keep preaching this. When other people change their message, you keep preaching this. When the culture, so-called, advances, and they think they get beyond the old-time religion and beyond preaching, you keep on preaching this. He says in verse 8, this is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. You work at showing the grace of God. Again, the old-time religion is not a religion at all. It is a relationship. It's not about do's and don'ts. The rebels say, oh, you tell me I can't do this, and I can't do that, and I can't do that. That's no fun. And you say, if I do this, and I do this, and I do this, then I'll finally have joy in my life, and I just rather I enjoy the pleasures of sin. And you know, you got to have standards, and you got to have some basis. Otherwise, everyone will do that which is right in their own eyes. That didn't work out real good for Israel. So you have some standards, but you go beyond the standards. And the old-time religion is a love for my Jesus. Amen. That supersedes anything that is lawful and yet not expedient. All things are lawful, but not everything's good. It's not all expedient. Man, you can, if you want to, you can wear a chicken suit and run up and down the street and yell the sky is falling. You've got the right to do that. You could do that. Kind of dumb if you do it, but kind of dumb if you're a Christian saved by a born-again sinner, a sinner that's born again, saved by grace, and you go back and start living and identifying with the world. That's kind of stupid. You got the right to do that, but that's not the old-time religion. And you know, all I got to do, if we could just get everybody in love with Jesus, the old-time religion is going to ooze out of every door of this church. It's going to envelop your house, and there's going to be a covering of grace and mercy over your house that your neighbors are going to want what you've got. That's living the old-time religion. And like I said at the beginning of the message, we don't have to be a downstate church. That's not our standard. Praise God, I know a lot of those people down there. We don't need to live like that, do we? There's some here this morning, too. You know, that's not our standard. Here's the standard. Right here's the Word of God. It's about who can get closer to Jesus. That's what it is. It's about who can fall head over heels in love with their Savior. Man, you know what? If we just do that, everything will be all right. This world isn't going to offer you much. And like we found out in Sunday school this morning, it's very temporary. And Paul told Timothy, naked came you into the world, naked you're going to leave. You're not taking anything with you. Nothing. You need to understand, let's be rich in the things from above. Right now, with every head bowed in the auditorium, I'll speak to the live stream for just a moment. If you don't know that when you die, you're going to heaven, you come to Jesus right now. If you'll bow your head, if you'll in your heart, you'll bow your heart, and you'll cry out to God from your heart. And you mean business, he'll save you this morning. You need to know this. He's the only way to heaven. There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And if you'll call upon him today, he will give to you eternal life. Just pray like this, no matter where you might be. Father in heaven, I know I'm a sinner. Oh God, I know I've offended a holy God. I know that in my sin, I've got no chance of heaven. Thank you for being the Savior, Jesus. Thank you for dying in my place. Come into my heart and be my Savior. And give me the courage to tell somebody about it. And Lord, help me to live for you. But God, I thank you that salvation has already been provided. And I'm trusting you alone for heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you prayed that prayer, you tell somebody about it. Get a hold of somebody here at this church or another church. You got to tell them you got born again. If they're not excited about you getting born again, find us. Come here and we'll help you grow in grace.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book. Broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.